Okay, good morning, Shalom Aleichem, Yom Ha'atzmut Sameach to everybody. Today it is, we are celebrating Yom Ha'atzmut around the world. Baruch Hashem, it is 74 years of the modern state of Israel. There are two drushas you can make on this. Number one, 74 is aid, a witness, a testimony, and the fact that we have Eretz Yisrael today is a testimony, it's a modern day miracle. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is literally with us, and we are living in special times, but it also, flip around the world, da. And you should know, right? We have to not only, you know, testify to this and understand this, but we have to internalize this message of how important it is to have Eretz Yisrael in our lives, especially for us who are living outside of Eretz Yisrael. And I want to share a thought. And this is how what I shared last night, but it's such a, I think, important message. The Gemara Maseches Ksuvos and Daf Kuf Yud Beis Min Aleph. We're talking about common law marriage right before, you know, the recording started and et cetera and all that stuff. Now, Maseches Ksuvos is the place, if you want to know about the sanctity of the land of Israel, if you want to know how special it is, you need to go to the end of Ksuvos, to the last few dapim in the Masechta, and they tell you really all these beautiful things about the land of Israel. Rav Tzadok HaKohen Lublin says that's not by accident. That's not by accident, because every Masechta has its topics, and then usually has its sub-agadaic topics, the stories that it tells. And the stories that are in those Masechtas are not done by accident, they're intentional. For example, if you want to know about the stories about the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, most of those stories are located in Maseches Gittin. Gittin discusses divorces. The destruction of the temple represents a separation in the marriage between the Jewish people and Hashem. Therefore, it's on theme that those stories are there. The same thing is true when it comes to Maseches Ksuvos. Ksuva represents the obligations, the marriage document between a husband and a wife. Am Yisrael is what binds the Jewish people to Kaddish Baruch Hu. Maybe it's the Torah. It's true also. It's not, these ideas don't go against each other. But this represents the love that the Jew Hashem has for Klal Yisrael by giving us Eretz Yisrael. And the Gemara says something amazing, Maseches Ksuvos. The Gemara tells us a story. We know this story. We've learned this as young children, maybe not inside, but we know that the Gemara tells us about different Tanaim and Amoraim who were in love with Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Abba would go to Akko, he would kiss the rocks of Akko. Rabbi Chanina would fix the, he was concerned that people would complain about the roads in Eretz Yisrael and how difficult they were, and the drivers were massive. So he would himself, right, take time out of his busy day and fix the potholes in the land of Israel. Rabbi Ami, Rabbi Asi, Kaimi, Mishamsha, Latula, Mitula, Lashamasha. They would never stand in the sun too long in Eretz Yisrael because they would feel uncomfortable in Eretz Yisrael, and they never wanted to have a thought of complaint about the Holy Land. Rabbi Chia Bar Gamda, Megander Ba'afra, Rabbi Chia Bar Gamda would roll around in the dirt of Eretz Yisrael. Someone shared with me last night that when Rav Kook got to Eretz Yisrael, he said, I need to see a cow. He saw a cow. He landed in Yafo in Eretz Yisrael. He kissed the first cow that he saw. So Rav Chia Bar Gamda, Megander Ba'afra, he would roll around in the dirt, in the dust of Eretz Yisrael. Shana Amar, because the Pasuk says, you should do this. The Pasuk says in Tehillim, Kuf Beis Tesvav, for your servants take pleasure in her stones and love her dust. So the Gemara is telling us that why did the rabbis do all these crazy things to the land of Israel? Because the Pasuk says you shall take pleasure in the stones and the dirt and the dust of Eretz Yisrael. When Rashi quotes this Gemara, he leaves out one word. He leaves out the word she-ne-emar. Because the Pasuk says, the three days, Rabbi Chiyo Yaakov Weinberg, one of the great rabbis from the previous generation, he lives in Switzerland. He says, why did Rashi leave out the word she-ne-emar? Because it shouldn't be that our love for Eretz Yisrael is a Shene Emar. Is because the Torah says, because the Pasuk says, therefore. No. We should love Eretz Yisrael because it's innately, we're innately connected to Eretz Yisrael. That a Jew is connected, our neshama, our pnimius, is connected to Eretz Yisrael. The Vilna Gaon would say about the Jewish people in Golus, that when the Jewish people are in exile, we are like a guf, a body, without a neshama. Our neshama is Eretz Yisrael. That's where our neshama resides. Now that's really where I wanted to start this morning. We said halal and shul this morning, and we said hayam ra'ah vayanos, right? And I just thought of a thought, not my own thought, but we hayam ra'ah vayanos, that the sea saw and it split. What did the sea see, right? Say this 10 times fast. And split. The Gemara says that it saw the bones of Yosef, the Atzmos Yosef. Why? Because Yosef's bones were taken out of Mitzrayim by Moshe Rabbeinu and eventually buried in Eretz Yisrael. The last story in all of Sefer Yoshua, right, we're learning Shoftim now on Mondays, the last story in Sefer Yoshua is the burial of Joseph, the burial of Yosef, you know, and in Shechem. And the Gemara wants to know, what was it about Yosef that Hashem said, you know what, you need to be buried in Eretz Yisrael? Because you know why? Moshe Rabbeinu, the greatest Jew to ever walk on this earth, is not buried in Eretz Yisrael. And the Medrash writes the following. Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Mishahoda biyartzo, nikbar biyartzo. Anybody that is moda biyartzo, it admits that they are a citizen of the land of Israel, that they love the land of Israel, gets buried in the land of Israel. Misha loho de biyartzo, somebody that's not part of who they are, eino nikba biyartzo, does not get buried in the land of Israel. Yosef hoda biyartzo minayin, how do we know that Yosef did this, that he was somebody that was modeh, that Israel was part of his life, it was intrinsic, not just that he's talked about it, but that people saw that as part of his identity. That comes up in Sefer Shemos when the people say about Yosef, you brought us a Jewish guy from the land of the Ivrim. Ganov gunafti me'eretz Ivrim. Yosef always spoke about, he lived in Mitzrayim, achieved fame and popularity and tremendous wealth in Eretz Israel, but that's not who he was. He was somebody that was a Ben Eretz Yisrael. He was a Ben Eretz Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu, however, was not Moda Biarza. The Benos Yisro, when they saw him and he saved Tzipora from the shepherds, what does the Torah say about Moshe? Ish Mitzri Hitzilanu Miyad HaRoim, an Egyptian man. Meaning it wasn't obvious to those that experienced and met Moshe that he was somebody that was a citizen of Israel. Now, we're not talking about whether you have a literal card that says you are a Tudah, that you are a citizen of Israel. That's not what we're talking. But how do we live our lives? Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, the great Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, the great Mir Rosh Hashiva, writes here the following. And he says, he was talking to his students in Mir, who were living at the current time in Eretz Israel. And he says, Yesh li spalei aleinu. We have to be shocked about ourselves, be honest with ourselves. Shanu dar Eretz Israel, veinu no margishim karois aliv hashpa habos lanu al yada. We live in Israel, and we don't appreciate the land that we are living in, the ground that we are stepping on. We don't recognize that. Right, he says it's so shocking. Shekibnos Yisro Amru Ish Mitzri Haisabazeh Gamachasha Yadusa Shemosha. What the Medrash is saying is that it needs to spill out of our persona, our personality, that we are Bnei Ubnos Eretz Yisrael, and this is something that we, as Jews of the Gola, Jews who live in Chutz Laaretz, need to double down on and need to be more sensitive about. it doesn't just mean we send a check to build another tree in Eretz Yisrael, which you can send a check this year, by the way, but the JNF will not plant that tree this year. It's illegal. I double-checked this. It's pretty amazing. The Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael affects they're not allowed to. It's Shemitah, period, done. It's not happening. I double-checked because a few people asked me about it. I met with someone. Not happening. They can't do it. Kedusha is Eretz Yisrael. It's not just about supporting financially. We need to go. We need to go to Eretz Yisrael. We need to connect to Eretz Yisrael. Learn Torah as Eretz Yisrael. Be inspired by the land. Consider why we're not there. We may have a good reason, but it's something that we need to be honest about. One of the mitzvos that takes place in Eretz Yisrael, and one of the mitzvos at Tzulias Baretz, is the mitzvah of Peah, which is where we begin in our parsha. Ubekutzrechem etzketzir etzachem, lo sechale pe'atza dechaliksor, neleket ketzircha lo tilaket. Now the Torah tells us in Parsha Kedoshim, which is ripe full of so many mitzvos, when you're reaping the harvest of your land, right, you're a farmer, and you're taking in the crops, you have to leave a corner of your field. Right? This is one of the, not just a mitzvah tzuya ba'aretz, but it's called one of the matnos aniyim, one of the mitzvos that a farmer is obligated to do, to leave off some portion of his land for the poor people. Then we have leked, and we have shechcha, and their entire mesechtas that deal with these mitzvos. For example, the mitzvah peah, and really leked and shechcha, are all in one mesechta called meseches peah. If you're learning Mishnah Yomi, we just finished it about 2 months ago. And more or less, you would argue that it's a pretty straightforward mitzvah, that you have to leave over a portion of your field. It doesn't necessarily mean a corner of your field, you know, but it means some part of your field needs to be left over for the aniyim. And there's an entire mesechta dealing with this. The Mishnah addresses several scenarios which might not be so obvious. Meaning, if I have different crops, I need different sets of payah. So I have a crop of wheat, a crop of barley, a crop of bananas. I need separate payahs for each one of those items. What if I have two different types of wheat? What's halacha? I have two types of wheat. So does that mean I need two payahs, one for this type of wheat and one for the other type of wheat? Or is one payah enough for both together because they're all called wheat? The Mishnah records the following story. Ma'asesha zara Rabbi Shimon isha mitzvah lifnei Rabbi Gamliel. It happened that Rabbi Shimon of Mitzvah planted his field with two different types of wheat. And he came before Rabbi Gamliel to ask, what's the halacha? And Rabbi Gamliel said, I don't know. We need to go to the Lishkas HaGazis. They need to go to the Great Sanhedrin in Yerushalayim. This Great Sanhedrin, they were housed on Har HaMoriah, the Malkom HaMikdash. And the Mishnah says a dramatic moment took place in the Mishnah. They asked their Shaila, two different types of wheat in for Peah, one Peah, two Peahs. I thought it's a simple question, no? Rabbi Gamliel, and it went up the chain all the way to the Supreme Court. Amar Nachum Halavlar. The Gemara says that Nachum Halavlar, Nachum the scribe, got up and he said the following. Mikubal ani me Rabbi Mesha, shekibel mi Abba, shekibel mi Nazugo, shekiblu mi Neviim, halacha lemosha misim. Rabbi Nachum of Halavlar said, I have a tradition, I have a Mesorah about this halacha. It went to Rabbi Mesha, my Rabbi, who got it from Abba, who got it from the Zugos that we learn about in the Zugos, we learn about in Maseches Avos, who got it from the Nevi'im, who got it straight from Moshe Rabbeinu. Bezorea Sadeo Shnei Mine Chitin, Im Asan Gorin Achas, Nosin Pe Achas. They have a Mesorah that if you are Zorea, you plant two different types of wheat, if they're in one threshing floor, meaning you take care of them all in one place, then only one peah is necessary. That's the halacha. That's the halacha. Dramatic moment. They had to go to Lishkas HaGazis. They announced it. I have Mesorah from Moshe Rabbeinu. Halacha la Moshe Mesinai. Rabbi Yehuda Leib Ginsburg, in his Sefer, in his parish called Musar HaMishnah, who has messages about, you know, what we could take out of the Mishnayos, he says it's common, right? It's not such an uncommon thing to find a halacha that dates back to Moshe Rabbeinu, halacha l'Moshe Mesinai, but it's uncommon to find a particular halacha that we could trace back, goes from here to here to here. Usually the Mishnah cuts out all of those details. So what is the deeper message here about this Mishnah? Rav Ginsburg says, it's not just about wheat. The question the Mishnah is really addressing is whether or not, in a deeper panimi way, is whether or not two Jews with two different backgrounds, two different ideologies, different political affiliations, represented by the two different types of wheat, can all live in one community. Must we separate into two fields, or can we live as one unit? To this question, Nachum HaLavler gets up and says with a resounding, of course we can. Yes, it has always been the case that Jews of different persuasions and backgrounds can live together with unity. Nachum HaLavler says, I need to share this and trace this back to the generations. I can't just say halacha l'moshe Mesinai here. I'm going to show you that this has happened in every Jewish community from my time and in memoriam and moving back. That Jewish communities always were comprised of different types of Jews with different opinions, different thoughts, different ways of life, and different ways of doing things. But we all ultimately find a way to coexist. If there's one Gor and Achatz, if we have a way to unify ourselves, that we are brothers and sisters, Acheinu Kol Beis Yisrael, then there's one Peah. That's a deeper message of this Mishnah. And it's not by accident we're learning this idea on Yom HaAtzmaut, because ultimately, what's fascinating is, from Aaron Lichtenstein, Tzatzal, his Yahrzeit was this past week, on Rosh Chodesh Iyar, makes a great point. We have a concept called Arvas. Kol Yisrael Arevim Zebazeh. It's a very nice idea that we're all connected. It's a beautiful idea. It's a halachic concept that I'm responsible for your mitzvot. If I make Kiddush already, but one of you are unable to make Kiddush, you can't read the Hebrew text, I can make it again for your behalf because we're responsible one for the other. The Gemara tells us that that halachic concept didn't always apply. It didn't apply. You know, you could argue, we got the Torah, that halacha applied. No. The Gemara tells us that that halacha only, you know, came on the books when the Jewish people entered the land of Israel. Only when we entered the land of Israel did the concept of arvus apply. Why? Rav Lichtenstein suggests so beautifully that it's because Eretz Yisrael is the binding agent of Klal Yisrael. It's what connects the Jewish people, echad l'sheni. That's really what connects us one to the other. And we need Eretz Yisrael. We need days like Yom HaAtzmaut that connect us one to the other. I'll add to this one last point. Today is the 19th day of the Omer, and we're all preparing for Matan Torah together and counting up together. Rabbi Yaakov Bender in his Sefer on Chumash, I think the Aarons have it on their table. It's a great Sefer. In English, she'll buy it. Great stories in there. He makes the following point that Vayichan Sham Yisrael Neged Ahar, that we all, right, Rashi points out famously, Ki'ish Echad, Belev Echad, right, this idea of Vayichan underscores the immense sense of unity that enveloped the camp of Klal Yisrael when we were prepared to get the Torah, right? Rabbi Bender points out that unfortunately, what happens too often is that people connect and feel close to one another amongst Klal Yisrael when there is a tzara, when there's a war going on in Eretz Yisrael, when three people are, you know, three young children are taken captive in Eretz Yisrael, that brings us together. We're less biting, less feisty. We're more understanding and more open to people's opinions. But when things are going well, we're not so good. with that. We're not so understanding. We're less patient for the other side, the opposition, the other opinion. We're not open to hearing what they have to say and sharing in front of them. Vayichan sham Yisrael neged ahar. The Torah goes out of its way to tell us this idea of unity, specifically in a time that was good, to instruct the Jewish people that we dafka have to find times to connect to Klal Yisrael and feel close to Klal Yisrael when things are going well. When the going gets rough, it's easier. But we need to do it all the time. That's the idea of Peya, the connection of Peya, the meaning of Nacham Halavlar. Let's go to the Kutzker Rebbe. Well, I have two quick vorts over here, one from the Kutzker and one from Rav Druk. Kedoshim Tihiyu. Right? Kedoshim Tihiyu Ki Kadosh Ani. You shall be holy because I am holy. Says the Medrash. Kedoshim Tihiyu. You should be holy. Yachol Kamoni. I would have thought, Hashem said, right, that you should be as holy as Hashem. Like me, Talmud Omar, Ki Kadosh Ani. I am holy. Kedushasi Lamala Miktushashem. My Kedusha, my sanctity, my holiness is higher than yours. That's the language of the Medrash. What in the world is the message of this Medrash? I am holy. You should be holy, but not as holy as me. You would have thought you should be as holy as me. No, Ki Kadosh Ani, you're holy, but not as holy as I am. What is the Medrash meaning? There's many answers that have been suggested about this Medrash. I want to share with you the Kutzker Rebbe. The Kutzker Rebbe says like this. Yachol kamoni, kemo she'ani omeid ve'in bi shum shinun. Kein atem tiyu omdim b'makom echa. Just like Hashem doesn't change, it's one of the 13 Ani Mamets. Hashem never changes. He is consistent. His Kedusha is always intact and is the same. You would have thought that's the way your life should be lived. It always should be the same. Talmud Lomar, no. Kedusha si lamala mi Kedusha aschem. Kol ma she'atem mikadshem, atzebecham yoser ayidei zeh yiyei Kedusha si, Yisrael mosif in koach, tamayu shemala, mashakazav tenu oz leilukim. He says, no, your Kedusha is different, not greater, than mine. The human being needs to continue to grow. Hashem is an omeid. It's pretty high, it's pretty holy, it's up there. We can't touch it, we can't connect to it. Our Kedusha needs to continue to grow as we go on in life. Hashem's Kedusha has no shinoi, has no change. Our Kedusha needs to continue to grow throughout our lives. That's why the word for shana, for a year, comes from the word shinoi, comes from the word change. Because if our Kedusha is the same from year to year, then we have to ask ourselves, you know, what are we doing here? What was the goal of this year if we are still just the same as we were the year before? That is thought number three for today. Thought number four comes from Rudruk. Rudruk writes the following. Lo tisna es achicha bilvavecha. You shall not hate or bear hatred for your brother in your heart. You shall rebuke your brother. The lo tisa alav chet, and do not hold sin over him. Rav Druk wants to know, in this mitzvah of rebuke, I'll share with you a story which I maybe have shared beforehand, but I'll share it again now because it has it's timely. I was once going to visit Rav Chaim Kanievsky, Zatzal. And the way that you would visit, or you could take a cab to get to Bnei Brak from Yerushalayim. I was living in Yerushalayim. We were living in Gruss. And you can go that way, and that's easy. Or you can get a sheirut in Geula. A sheirut in Geula means you pay a little bit less money, and you it's like 15 shekels, whatever it is. Probably now it's a little bit more. And you have to wait for 10 people to get on the sheirut, and then the sheirut goes. It could take you 2 minutes. It could take you an hour. So I was not in the two-minute category. I was in closer to an hour. And I was getting very antsy. There was like four or five guys on the sheirut, you know, men and women waiting to get back to Bnei Brak. And it really wasn't moving. So I was getting antsy. So I said, you know, I'm going to go for a walk. I went for a walk around the block. And in an alleyway, you know, where I was, I saw a person who was dressing pretty religious, I would say, who was looking at something that was completely inappropriate. And I didn't know what to do. So I decided, you know what? I'm going to go over to him. And I mustered up my deepest love for this individual. And I went over to him and I said in Hebrew, Achi, Lama Ta'asetze, my brother, what are you doing? This is inappropriate. How can you do this? And he said, Nachon, 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 you're so right. You know, and he picked it up and he ran away. And I'm like, oh, I felt so good about myself. You know, like, look at me. Look what I'm doing. Amazing. I'm such a great guy. I got back on the sheirut, feeling like $1 million. I'm going to visit Rav Chaim. Like, I should, you know, do I need? And a little short while later, we didn't pick up that many, too many more passengers. And I went back out, did the same thing. And I saw the same guy on the same bench looking at the same magazine. I said the same thing to him. And I thought it worked again. He ran away. Nachon, nachon, nachon. And I felt like $1 million again, you know, patting my ego. The third time around, when we were getting close, but not close enough, I saw him again on the same bench, the same magazine, and nothing changed. I went to Rav Chaim Kanievsky, and now I had a question for him, in addition to other things that I wanted to discuss with him. And I asked Rav Chaim, was this appropriate? Did I do the right thing? What should I have done in this situation? So he said to me, and we know that he's very short on words. He said, "Hu choshev shata mishuga," which means he thinks that you're crazy. I turned to his grandson, who was a shamish, and I said, what does he mean? He says, you have no connection to this guy. This guy doesn't know you from anywhere. Why is he going to listen to you? He just thinks you're crazy. There's no reason for him to listen to you, because the mitzvah of tochacha can only be heard from somebody, right, that has a connection to the other person. That other person senses a feeling of love and respect to the, you know, person that is doing the rebuking. So Rav Druk says here, hocheach tochiach. Why is it a double language? It just should have, the Torah could have said, hocheach esamisacha. No, rebuke your fellow. Ma shekasva Torah tzivoi zeh bekeifel. Double language, near the faresh, because when you see somebody doing something wrong, before you walk over to them, like ready, and you walk over to hini mukher mazuma lasos the kaim mitzvah shachet tochich zamisecha. Before you do that, hocheach, you have to rebuke yourself first. You have to ask yourself, why am I doing this? Am I doing this for my own ego, for my own purpose, because I want to feel good, or I feel bad, or I cannot tolerate this? Or am I doing this completely for the other person's betterment? And if you have any shemets of the first way, walk away. You're not the right person to give rebuke in this situation. Hocheach yourself. Understand and think about the motivations that are behind the reason why you're drawn into the situation. If they're pure, tochiach, then continue. If they are not, walk away and avoid it, because ultimately nothing will be accomplished with your hochacha. That is a thought, a very powerful thought about the role of tochacha. Last idea for today comes from the Tiferet Shlomo, the Radomsker, and from Rav Druk. They both have asked the same question. the first three psukim in our parsha end with the same words. Daber kol das bnei Yisrael v'marta aleihem. First pasuk is v'daber shem Moshe aleihem. Psukim 2, 3, and 4 end the same way. Daber kol das bnei Yisrael v'marta aleihem. Kedoshim to you, ki kadosh ani Hashem Elokecha. Ani Hashem Elokecha. You shall be holy. We just said this. Because I am holy. Because I am holy, you're Hashem, your God. Ishimo avitiro, you shall fear. You shall fear both your father and mother. Eshav zotay shmor and keep Shabbos. Ani Hashem Elokecha. I am Hashem, your God. Right? We juxtapose Shabbos to more avaim, because even if your parents ask you to violate Shabbos, Shabbos is more important. Al tifnu el halilim, don't turn towards the foreign gods, towards idols. Lelalei ma'asecha lo tasu lachem, don't fashion idols. Ani Hashem Elokecha. The first pasuk is kedusha, ani Hashem Elokecha. Second pasuk is fear of parents and keeping Shabbos, ani Hashem Elokecha. The third pasuk is idol worship, ani Hashem Elokecha. Now, right, and that's it. I mean, ani Hashem might appear more times in the parsha, but the first three come up with the same words. So says the Al Shech HaKadosh. Why does the Torah say the word ani Hashem Elokecha three times here? Would it not suffice that after all three of these, just once use the words ani Hashem? So Radomsker quotes the Kasha of the Al Shech, and he says the following. The Radomsker actually, there's a story recorded that the Radomsker said this to a group of young men and women. He said that the Torah is speaking about three different types of Jews. The word for community, which has been a theme of some of our Divrei Torah today, the theme of community, the word community is Tzibur, Tzadik Beis Reish, which stands for Tzadikim Beinonim and Rishayim. Every Tzibur consists of all three. Without one of them, we are not a Tzibur. Without the Rishayim, we are not a Tzibur. Without the Tzadikim, we're not. Without the Beinonim. So he says that here, that the three psukim are referencing three different types of Jews that live amongst us. First, he's speaking to the Tzadikim, Kidoshim to you, right? Don't only keep the regular mitzvos that we all are responsible for, but live a life of kedusha, meaning go above and beyond what's expected of you. That's part of living a life of kedusha. Kadesh atzmecha b'motelacha. Next is the beinonim. The beinonim, I want to remind you about two paramount and paradigmatic mitzvos that we have. Honoring one's parents and keeping Shabbos, ani Hashem Elokecha. Shabbos and parents, right? Which one is Kedushas Ha, you know, the people, Kedushas Aguf, and one is Kedushas Hazman. And last, Hashem speaks to the Rishayim. And he says, even the Rishayim, one can never go so far off to be worshiping idols. Even them, Hashem says, I am still your God. And even if you end up worshiping idols and fashioning Elohei Masecha, Hashem says to the Rishayim, Ani Hashem Elokecha, I love you. I am still your God. For the first level, holy one, yeah. Second level, the keeping the what's expected of you, I'm your God. But even the third level, those that have gone off and done things that are so unfathomable, Ani Hashem Elokecha. I am Hashem, your God. I love you. I deeply care about you. I am still your God. That's really, Rav Druk essentially says, he doesn't quote the Radomsker over here, but he says it's the same idea. Rav Druk quotes Mamish the same idea. Rav Strawmayer, Mayor Druk, in his Sefer, quotes the same idea. So today we discussed five ideas, five thoughts, two related to Eretz Israel. We discussed Moda Biarzo, Yosef versus Moshe, and us living outside of Eretz Yisrael, what that means to be a Moda Biarzo, to have that, to be proud and to connect to Eretz Yisrael in a more profound way. We discuss Shene Emar. We don't want to be Shene Emar Jews when it comes to Israel. We want to be just because we're connected to it. Nachum Alavlar and the story of Bapeya with the two pieces of wheat, the deeper message of that medrash. Kidoshin Tiyu Ki Kadosh Ani. What does that mean? The beautiful thought of sharp point of the Kutzker. Hocheach Tochiach. What does that mean? The double language. Hocheach ourselves first, then Tochiach others. And then the last, Ani Hashem Lokechem, three times in the first. And first three psukim, 2, 3, and 4. And what does that mean for all of us? I wish everybody a
Rabbi
and a great week. Yes.
Anyway, a common law marriage is defined